definitely a hit the ground running semester, but the energy on campus has been really cool. They're like really motivated students right now, and it's good. It keeps us on our toes.
Students seem to be a little more politically active than past.
Yeah. We had a march on campus yesterday addressing tuition, and we've had a lot more groups starting up. We had an Activism 411 last week, which I hear was great.
Yeah, I went to them.
Been a lot of information out there, students helping students figure out kind of what to do in the world right now.
Yeah. You know what else is awesome, Alex?
What?
We have a commentator that is joining our team. We have Mark Airy. Welcome to the show, Mark Airy.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Now, anyone that's listened to any Without a Roof or Youth for Justice will recognize Mark's voice. And Mark actually was an intern, our longest running intern at the Youth for Justice program at Peace and Justice Center. Mm-hmm. But when I asked Mark, what the job description was, or told Mark that, you listen to people that are speaking and then you comment on them. What was your response, and how happy were you about taking on this role, Mark?
I said that I like listening to people and commenting on what they just said.
And I can say from experience, Mark is in the right seat. He's just a brilliant, brilliant young guy. And we're happy to have him here in Youth for Justice. And the opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. And we're just about at the top of the hour. You are indeed listening to FM 90.1. You may be streaming live as well, I suppose. We are based out of Chico, California. And we're listening to supported community radio from the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. It's the very first time I've ever started a show early, Alex.
Yeah, I am used to starting a show late, frankly.
Exactly.
But early.
Early's good.
This is new. I think early could be a good thing.
It could be, because I'll go backwards then, because we've got Sianna Kelly's. She was an intern at the Peace and Justice Center, and she's going to be playing at least one song, but maybe we got time for two.
Oh, maybe so. That would be kind of cool.
And then tell us about your student.
Brina. Do you want to say hi, Brina?
Hello.
There you go.
So Brina she's one of my gold star students. I'm very excited. We had a class together last semester, and she is just kind of dynamite, getting involved in a lot of different things and out there saying what's on her mind and getting active and trying to help make the world a better place. And so she's going to talk to us about some of her things that she's passionate about, looking at mental health, among other things. And we're going to chat a little bit, too, about, getting involved. Where did she start? And how do you do it as somebody who's involved in a lot of different types of activism and in her case, organizations on campus? How do you juggle it all? And we'll talk about that idea of not getting burnt out, which I think we both agreed is not the easiest thing to address.
No, it is not. It's different for everybody.
Do you have a poem you're going to read too?
Yes.
Woo.
If you would like
Woo.
Me to, I will.
Yeah. Yes, so stay please. Tuned for Brina. And in the middle of the show, we're going to have Carriers of the New Story. It's actually, I was involved. I went to one of their sessions. But it's a youth leadership program that is sponsored by Butte Environmental Council. So we're going to have some live interviews with folks from that program and the executive director of Butte Environmental Council, otherwise known as BEC. Natalie Carter will be in the studio as well. But, what's really cool is we're going to start the show, Alex and the rest of our studio guests, with just a beautiful piece that Josh Indar put together. Josh, he's going to be a contributor. And Josh, I'm sure, would be a guest host other than the fact he has band practices Thursday. Josh is a punk rocker.
Pesky band practice.
Pesky. He's severance package. This is the second piece he's been involved in. This one really hit home for me. It's a foster youth, young lady that physically reunited with her dad when she turned 18 and her dad lived in Mexico. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful piece. So anything else you want to add, Alex, before we roll this piece from Josh Indar here on Youth for Justice?
No, I'm very excited. This is morphed into from your brainchild to the two of us to now we have a whole arsenal of folks, and I'm very excited to see what Josh and all our other friends here are gonna contribute.
That's a good time to slip in, actually, because I didn't mention that every month we're going to do a segment on Butte Environmental Council. So Natalie Carter is a co-producer. So, yeah, we've built kind of like a cool little get-together team here. So, but here you go. With no further ado, this is Josh Indar here on Josh Indar and Destiny. Destiny is the star of this for sure, and her dad from Mexico here on People Power Radio.
Hi, this is Josh Indar reporting for Youth for Justice, and today I'm honored to present a story from a young woman I know named Destiny, who I first met through a school program called Champion Scholars. It was about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and back then she didn't talk much. She was kind of closed off, didn't smile much. At that time, she was struggling to finish high school, but now she is at Butte College working towards a nursing career. While also serving as the chairperson for our local Butte chapter of CYC, which is a foster youth advocacy group. In the time I've known her, I've really seen her personality emerge. The Destiny I know now is a really funny, determined young lady, and she's on her own, and she's slowly but surely letting go of some of the baggage from her youth. But along with that, letting go is a process of reclaiming her past and discovering family that she never knew she had. This last Christmas, she boarded a plane to meet a father who she said she missed her whole life. It makes one wonder how hard it must be to truly know yourself when you can only guess at where you came from.
I'm Destiny, and I'm 19 years old. I've been in foster care since the age of 10, and I aged out at 18. I was born at in-law hospital. And my mom was on drugs in and out of pregnancy throughout the whole time. But they let my mom have me for 10 months after that. And then after 10 months, I was placed into my first foster home. And from there, they adopted me at the age of 3. So
I thought you said you entered foster care when you were 10 years old.
I officially entered foster care at 10 years old after my adopted parents.
That adoption didn't work out.
No, it was a failed adoption, yes.
And so where was your dad when you were born?
My dad was there, actually. I found out that he was in the room. He cut the umbilical cord. He was there throughout the whole entire pregnancy, but it was hard because he was also on drugs, and he was here illegally. It wasn't easy, but when I was born, my mom left for 2 weeks after I got out of the hospital, and my dad took care of me for 2 weeks without my mom. So my mom was on drugs the whole time. My dad was on them. He was selling them, but I was his pride and joy. So he, like, stood up and became a father, and then my mom got him caught up and so he got arrested and was deported back out when I was 3, and that's when I got adopted. And so they put him in prison for 3 years, and then they sent him back to Mexico. So, yeah. Throughout my childhood, I didn't know I was adopted up until a certain age. And so I would ask questions. I'd be like, do you have anything of my mom and my dad? No, we don't. Do you know what they look like? Could you tell me anything about them? No, we can't. It was weird to me. And honestly, so I didn't know what to think.
When Destiny met her father, she asked him about the short time that he cared for her as a baby. And she recorded part of that conversation at his home in Mexico.
I stayed with you.
You stayed with me for 2 weeks alone without my mom? How do you feed me?
How? So I do, I give it to you, how I say?
A bottle?
Yeah.
And then is that when they took me at 2 weeks or 10 months?
2 weeks.
They took me at 2 weeks?
I feed you for 2 weeks.
Oh.
2 or 3 weeks. And your mom in jail for a month.
Oh.
And her friends, my friends come see me. If you need help. And every go to man. Let Glinda go. No? Somewhere.
Everybody else said that my mom go.
You don't never tell yourself nothing?
No.
Huh? What?
Why didn't she keep anything of mine? I don't know.
You never asked nothing?
I asked her if she had pictures and stuff of that when I was a baby, but she said no.
Why she don't keep you nothing?
I don't know. She made a new life.
Oh, no, I'm not. She tried to find you, or you tried to find her?
I tried to find her, and I did find her.
But she don't try you? She don't try to find you, her?
I don't know.
And when I come to you, I try to write a letter, mm-hmm. a letter to you. And I come to Mexico, and I try for 17 years to try and find you.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Everybody helped me.
Everybody helped you find
me? Thank you.
Oh. I wanted to know more about my life and wrap my head around it and know where I came from. And, I mean, as a young kid, I mean, who wouldn't want to know where they came from if they were adopted? I mean, that's what adopted kids think about. What was my dad like? What was my mom like? Who are they? I mean, do I have other siblings? Do I not? I mean, it's just questions running through your mind and was always running through mine, but I never got the answers I wanted until I was a certain age. They told me eventually that I was adopted, but when I asked, well, what were my parents and stuff like that like, it was, I can't tell you, like, we don't know, or stuff like that, but they did know. They adopted two of my other sisters. They talked to my adopted parents, I mean, my biological parents, for so long. I mean, literally, my biological mom had asked them to take me because I already had one of my other sisters. So they knew. They know. They had her number and stuff like that, because at the age of 14, my sister passed away, and they called my biological mom to come down here and say her goodbyes. So they had the information that I wanted, but they just didn't want to give it to me. I was able to find my biological mom, but I did not meet her until my sister passed away. So when she flew down here and said her goodbyes and stuff like that, I was able to meet her, interact with her, and stuff like that. But I always asked her, well, I always had that question because I didn't know my dad. And I was like, well, where's my dad? Like, do you know anything about him? Like, tell me about my dad. And she always told me he would show you off like you were his little girl, and like he loved you. He'd be like, this is my daughter. Just like all the good things about him and that, like, but she said she didn't know where he was. But he found me. He has, I've got family in Chico, and he contacted them and was like, I need help finding my daughter. And he's been looking for me for over 5 years. But when it came down to it, my cousin became a social worker. And my dad was like, well, will you help me find my daughter? And he was like, I can try, but I can't give you any information because she could be underage. I mean, I don't know. Like, it's confidentiality. I can't do this and I can't do that. And so turns out I was in a foster home, and he came in, was a social worker, somebody else in that foster home. And when my foster mom called me out and called my name and introduced me, he just sat there. He didn't say anything, but he went back to the office and was like, found who my social worker was and was like, what was her dad like? And they said her dad was like a gangbanger. He was deported. He was no good. And he put two and two together and was like, that's his daughter. But he couldn't tell me because I was underage. He couldn't tell my dad that he found me either because I was underage. He found out who my social worker was, and my social worker was like, don't tell her. Don't tell her until she graduates high school. And that was 2 years later. And so when the day before I graduated high school in June of 2016, my dad sent me a friend request on Facebook. And I was like, this isn't funny. Like, is this really my dad? Me being in California, my biological mom being in Texas, I like blew up her phone, everything. It's 2 hours difference there. So it's midnight here and it's like 2 o'clock in the morning there. And I was like, is this my dad? She goes, yeah, that's your dad. And I was like, oh, okay. So I was like, hello. And he goes, hola. I was like, hola. Do you know English? And he goes, a little bit. So I was like, can you call me? And so he called me and we were talking and stuff like that. And it was the best graduation present I could have ever gotten. And then we started talking, and after graduation, he was like, you want to come see me and visit me? I was like, I love that. And so we started planning and planning to go to Mexico for just for Christmas. I got my passport, got everything like that, and plane tickets paid for, and was on my way to Mexico to meet my dad. In 15 years, hadn't seen him, didn't know anything about him, and now I do.
Destiny had spent her whole life in Butte County foster homes, had barely been outside of California, and knew very little about Mexico or its culture. I remember talking to her just before she left, and she was nervous but excited. I admit that I was a little worried to see her go. It was just so far away, and she hadn't traveled much. But on December 25th, she boarded a plane to Guadalajara, and from there took a two-hour ride to the little town where her dad lives.
It's different, very different. I mean, everything's slower. They do different money. The houses are so different. They don't got, like, a Walmart if you want to go buy food or something. They have little stores that don't have much in them. But, I mean, the meeting was amazing. And just knowing that I'm going to meet my dad, I was happy. I don't know, it lightened up a lot of things in my life because that's something that I didn't have. I mean, I didn't have a dad as a child. I didn't have somebody tell me, this guy's not right for you, or don't go to him, or somebody to tell me how guys should treat me and stuff like that. And I was like, but now I have my dad in my life, and he's going to be there. I mean, I'm so thankful that I get this chance to get to know my dad. I mean, he's funny. And so, like, we'd just be sitting there, and he'd just tell a joke, and we both sing. So he sings, but he sings in Spanish, not English, so I don't understand it. But it was a great experience. I feel like, to an extent, it was wrong for them to keep the information from me, or to lie to me as well. But then again, I feel like if they didn't, I would never have gotten this chance now. And, I mean, being in foster care and underage, they're not going to pay for you to go to Mexico. So I feel like that, to an extent, it was good, but to an extent, they should have told me what I wanted to know. I mean, maybe I could have gotten some closure, or I could have been talking to him years ago, and then now could have easily just met him, but I don't know.
Reuniting with her father made Destiny feel like a part of her that had been missing her whole life was returned to her. You can even see the difference now in her face. Just the way that she carries herself is a little bit lighter. But there were also moments of sadness with her father, especially when she had to tell him that his other daughter had passed away only a few years ago.
I had a sister who is his biological daughter as well. He didn't know. When I got there to Mexico, he asked me, he goes, so how's Misty doing? I was like, who's Misty? Because we named her Caressa when she was adopted. That's what she got named. He was like, your sister, your younger sister. And I was like, oh, my biological mom didn't tell you? And he goes, tell me what? I was like, she passed away 4 years ago. And he burst out in tears. And he's like, no, I didn't know that she never told me that. And that broke my heart because I didn't want to be the one to tell him, but I thought he already knew, but he didn't. And later on, he was like, I can't believe she didn't have the audacity to even tell me. I mean, we were talking about me meeting you and stuff like that, but she never told me that Cassie died. And so I was like, I'm sorry. And being my age, telling your dad that just breaks your heart.
Destiny hasn't always had it easy, and she still faces a lot of struggles, like we all do, but she's got a bright future. She talks to her dad almost every day, and with his encouragement, she's working hard on her education. She's really determined to realize her dream of being a nurse. So for kids out there who are searching for their parents or searching for their past, she had the following advice.
If you're looking for your parents, don't stop. Keep at it. Don't let people tell you, oh, they're not out there. They're nowhere to be found. Eventually, you will find your parents, and it feels great once you do. I feel like I smile a lot more because I have that part in my life that I didn't have back then, and I feel like I'm more happy. Like being a girl and not growing up with a dad at all. I mean, foster dads, but it's not the same. Having the opportunity I have to meet my dad, to know him, to talk to him every day. I mean, he calls me every day and is like, oh, I'll bring you tacos. Okay, I want some tacos. I learned a lot about myself after that, after I met him, like, especially, like, conversations we've had or stuff like that. Like, I learned a lot more than what I knew. And so, yeah.
Youth for Justice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Friends of the Arts, a state local partner to the California Arts Council. Since 2001, Friends of the Arts has been creating economic opportunity through arts and culture by producing community festivals and events including Artoberfest, Chico Palio, the True North Tour, the Silent Film Festival, the NorCal Jazz Festival, the Salmon Festival, and more and more and more. To learn about Friends of the Arts, visit friendsoftheartsupstate.org. We're also made possible by Pete's Restaurant and Brew, serving quality comfort and gourmet foods for over 25 years. That's it, 25 years. Pete's offers homemade soups and pastas, artisan sandwiches, pizzas, organic meats, fresh salads, gluten-free options. Plus, there's a full bar with fine wines and craft beers. Open every day, for lunch and dinner on the corner of Park and Carmichael Drive. Pete's Restaurant and Brew House. Good food, good beer. Let's eat. All right, give it up for Pete's. Back live in the studio, man. And Mark Gary, our new commentator here on Youth for Justice, has got some comments on that last beautiful segment with Destiny and Josh Andar, and her dad. It was just gorgeous. What do you got for us, Mark?
Yeah, that was a really powerful story. I mean, it really started breaking my heart towards the end when she was talking about her sister passing and having to communicate that to her father. It was just like, oh, that's heavy. But it was really happy story though, when she was talking about reuniting with her dad, and I can only just imagine how happy he was. And I'm really happy for them. I can kind of relate. I actually had an absent father, but it was kind of a different situation where he chose not to be with his kids. And you kind of walk through life feeling like sometimes, you know, there's that piece of you, like you want to know that person, but you're not really, you kind of just learn how to do things yourself. You don't always have someone to guide you through those things. Like, I didn't have exactly a father figure. She was talking about that briefly where, she didn't have a guy to tell you, no, that boy's no good. And, I feel like I didn't have a guy to tell me, take a shower every day and wear deodorant. I was kind of missing certain things like that. And I had to kind of figure it out for myself and become an adult without, having an adult there to show me. So, yeah, and I think it's pretty common. I think a lot of people are really interested in their origins, and they want to know, as far back as possible even. Like, I mean, I heard this, I remember growing up, I heard that I think down the line I'm related to, like, William Wallace's brother because my...
makes perfect sense.
My mom's maiden name was Wallace. I think her sister did some research. I don't know. But I like that idea. And I like knowing, who I'm related to down the line. And I like knowing the meaning to my names and all that stuff. I think it gives yourself some closure, so to speak.
Thanks a lot for that, Mark. That was actually the thing that got me the most when she was saying, never give up. Never give up. So thanks again, Destiny and her dad and Josh, for putting that together. And so let's, Alex, let's introduce your student here and what that's wonderful little segment you've put together with Brina here in the studio.
Yeah. Like I said, Brina is one of my stellar gold star students. I'm going to let her introduce herself a little bit. But we got to talking, the last few months in class and out of class about, being a young activist on a college campus and some of the things that you can become passionate about. You end up if your heart's in it, you often end up being passionate and compelled to act about a lot of things. Usually, you know, we pick one only because we have time, you know, only have time for one. So we were talking about that a little bit. So we'll dive into that. And Brina's also involved in speech and debate. And we're going to talk a little bit about how that has sparked some activism on her part. So why don't we just kind of, we're just going to have a little conversation, just kind of keep it casual. Brina, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
So I am a third year at Chico State. I am a communication studies major with an option in public affairs, and my two minors are gender and sexuality studies and women's studies. I am 20. I'm from Los Angeles. And to give myself a little bio, whenever people ask me, you know, the cliche question of what do you want to do with your life or what's your main goal in life, I always respond with to make a positive impact on as many lives as I possibly can, whether that be small scale or large scale, just positive impact.
Cool. And can we share what you told me you want to be when you grow up?
I would love to be a professor. Yep. Trying to get my doctorates, hopefully, if I last that long.
It's a good gig if you can get it. I will say that. And there's no high like having a conversation with 45, you know, young and inspired people in a room. We got to talking about that. And of course, that piqued my interest. Like, so you got suckered in too.
That's the goal.
But so tell us a little bit about how you got started as an activist, because you've expressed to me that you have had your hands in a variety of causes and things that matter to you. How did you kind of get your start?
Well, in high school, I had no idea about anything that was going on in the world, unfortunately, like many young people. But it was a professor at Chico State named Nandi Crosby. I took two classes with her, Intro to Multicultural and Gender Studies and Intro to Women's Studies. And those two classes just really sparked my interest in just the overall social justice movement in so many different outlets, racism, sexism, classism, and so forth. And yeah, my sophomore year, last year, my first big gig on campus, I was program coordinator for Chico State Pride, which is Chico State's LGBTQ+ organization. And that was the first time I had a position in power, which allowed me to make a difference in the sense of putting on events and having a stronger voice as compared to if I didn't have that position. So, yeah, those Nandi Crosby and being program coordinator for that club is what sparked the interest. And then once the interest was there, I kind of just found myself falling in love with social justice everywhere, you know, animal rights and environmental issues and just mental health and so many things.
That's so amazing. And I think your story is similar to a lot of other young student activists on any college campus. You know, once you get that first chance of seeing what you can do as a young person, because I feel like, in, you know, when we're in high school and until we're shown how much power and how much voice we really can have, we don't know that it's there. And so once you open that can of worms,
it just pours out.
Yeah, you can't stop. And shout out to Nandi Crosby, of course, for being such an inspiration to many students, you know, myself included as one of her former students. So that's, you know, that's fantastic. And so you got started in a class, got yourself involved. What got you to walk through that door and take on that position?
Well, I identify in the LGBTQ+ community, and I have always, for as long as I can remember, have just been very into the idea of clubs and leadership. And I've always thought of myself as a leader, you know, and even in middle school, I'm the kid that always raises their hand and talks too much and gives responses all the time. So I've just always felt like I enjoy positions and whatnot. And so once I had that position, the same year, I did an internship with You Matter, Chico State's mental health advocacy organization. I found myself involved with STOP, the Stop Trafficking of Persons Human Trafficking Awareness Club on campus. And yeah, not even just in positions of power, but even simply attending club meetings to things that if I have the time allotted and it's an issue that I care about, or even an issue that I don't know a lot about and I want to learn more about, if I have the time, will attend.
That's great. And you know, we talked about this on our last show. One of the segments we talked about was raising the next generation of change makers. And I think this applies here too. One of the hardest things is walking through that door, getting motivated to go from this is something I care about to this is something I'm doing something about. So, you know, kind of on that note, tell us a little bit about You Matter and your involvement there.
Yeah, so mental health is one of my most passionate social justice issues. I think that it's very highly stigmatized, and it's a conversation that remains taboo all over the place, but especially in the United States. It's something that's extremely important, but is very rarely talked about. And when it is talked about, it is very negatively portrayed, such as in the media. And, you know, when it comes to mental health, this is real stuff. It's suicide. It's the loss of lives. It's people suffering and people harming themselves due to these issues that nobody is willing to discuss and many people are not willing to even acknowledge exists. And so when I came to the realization of how stigmatized mental health is, joined You Matter and did that internship, and I've proceeded to do as much as I can with my own personal mental health strides in what I can do in the mental health movement.
That's great. That's great. And I think you touch on a really important dynamic there. Mental health is something that gets largely left out of the conversation, gets largely written off, and is an area where we need to have that conversation and need to talk about the stigma, and especially on a college campus where people are struggling and not sometimes feeling safe to seek out care because of the stigma. That's great. So tell us a little bit about what you did in your internship with them.
Well, part of it is you work in the counseling center and do all that office-y stuff. But You Matter puts on events such as Suicide Prevention Week and You Matter Day, which take place in different semesters of the year. And a lot of people know about Suicide Prevention Week due to our giant chalk wall that we have up every day that week. It's a really large wall that we put up on campus, and it's called the Before I Die Wall. And students are able to walk by and get some chalk and write what they would like to do before they die. And I think that things like that, you know, it's something so simple, and it could make a really large difference. Even if someone doesn't have the opportunity to write on the wall, just simply walking by and seeing all of these things that are possible and all of these dreams that other people have, I think that that could go a really long way for a person, and acknowledging how much is out there in the world could really have an impact on someone who may be suffering from their mental health.
Sure. So, yeah, like you said, I mean, I remember being on campus and walking past that wall, and it's just sometimes that little bit of food for thought that could really make a difference for somebody. And it sounds like your passion for mental health has worked into one of the other many, many things. I'm not convinced that you like actually sleep or do anything other than be on campus, but you are also involved in speech and debate. So tell us a little bit about how your passion for mental health has worked into your activities with the speech and debate team.
Yeah, so like I mentioned, I'm the kid that always talks in class. So I found myself this past fall semester joining Chico's speech and debate team. And so one of my speeches is a persuasive speech stating that all K through 12 schools in the United States of America should have a mental health education program. And I dive into a lot of suicide statistics, such as the fact that suicide is the third leading cause of death for those ages 10 to 24 in the United States. And it's the second leading cause of death for, I believe, 15 to 24. Don't quote me on that one. And so with this persuasive speech, I'm able to perform it at speech and debate tournaments all over the country lately. And with it, after the first tournament, I decided that I wanted to implement a petition at the end for my audience to have the opportunity to sign. And so the petition is stating that you agree that schools K through 12 should have some type of mental health education program. And so I've started that petition. I have a paper one that has signatures on it. I have one on change.org that people are able to do online. So hopefully within the next year, I'm able to get as many as possible. And who knows, one petition might go a long way. You never know, it could happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, as we've seen kind of in the last week or so, there's been a lot of petitions floating around online. And it does seem like a petition is a very accessible way for people to get involved. Sometimes, you know, when we don't have a lot of time in our day, a signature can go a long way. Do you have a ballpark on how many signatures you've received yet?
I believe handwritten signatures, I believe I have around 110 in total, maybe about 200, including change.org.
Wow, that's great. That's great. If somebody wanted to look for your petition, they just go to change.org and...
Should have thought of that before.
No worries.
Yeah.
We can put it on the Youth for Justice web Facebook page too. Put a link. But it's out there. So
out there.
I'm sure with the proper creative searching technique on change.org, you could find it. And that's great. So, but, you know, a petition and a compelling argument can go a long way. Do you have any, you know, as somebody who's been involved in a lot of different things at this point, do you have any words of wisdom for your fellow young activists, be it about getting involved or about juggling multiple commitments and actions?
I like to always say about activism is that it doesn't take a out there super extroverted person marching down the street protesting with all these signs and screaming things to be an activist. A lot of the time people say, I'm not a feminist or I'm not an activist for that or this because I am not someone who goes to marches and things like that. But when it comes down to it, you could be an activist simply by changing the language that you give throughout your day or making comments to other people's whose language might be damaging to certain minority groups. So whether it's marching with a sign at a protest or giving a speech with a petition or posting something on Facebook, or it could be as small as a classmate saying something negative towards a certain group of people and you standing up for that group of people and saying, hey, that's not right that you said that and this is why. It could be as small as someone saying, wow, I'm feeling so bipolar today, and you saying like, oh, well, that's actually a disorder that people have. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the language you're using. You know, you could be an activist in such small ways that could make such a large impact. So that's my advice to anybody who has that type of passion in any social justice area is that even the smallest impact will go a very, very long way.
I think that's really sound advice. And I like your emphasis on the importance of words, whether it's words on a sign, words in a speech to get signatures, writing, you know, the words that make your name, or discussing the words and the terminology that we use in our day-to-day. And those day-to-day conversations really do have a significant impact. You use words creatively as well. So you have a piece that you're going to share with us. Do you want to give us a little background on this, or do you want to just go for it?
I forgot that was happening. Sure. yeah. So I have been for the past couple years writing some spoken word poetry. I usually do about some type of social justice related issue or things that I find very important that I like to use my spoken word pieces as a voice for those who may not have one a lot of the time. So I wrote this piece after Donald Trump was announced to be president of our country. It's called The First 5 Days, and the way it was written was as the first 5 days that went by after that announcement was made that he was elected, I would write down in a notebook everything that I, as an out gay Hispanic female living in the city of Chico, was experiencing. And then I came up with this little poem.
Awesome. Thank you for being willing to share it with us.
Mm-hmm. All right. The first 5 days. Day one. Louder than the screams of "Hey ho, misogyny must go," and with more fear than the cries of "Not my president," I hear screams of "Do not run across the streets. They will make it an excuse to run you over with their Confederate flag." Day two. I feel the presence of every fearful body as I wait in SSC 430. Crisis appointments in the University Counseling Center are filled. The room packed. The National Suicide Prevention Hotline backed. Up with callers. I wish that I was taller. Maybe then I would have a better view of who is here to enable and who is here to empower. Day three. I see tears falling from peers' eyes. Middle fingers reaching out of windows here in Chico as cars drive by my Hispanic roommate and I. Day four. I smell brownies for the fourth night in a row, because for some, like my roommates, that's the only way to cope. My fellow woman, people of color, and LGBT folk, day five brings us to a new low. As we realize that this is no nightmare, some privileged minds are still unaware, still in the unknown of why we, the oppressed, hold so much fear. Maybe it's because the meaning behind "we, the people" was not made very clear. Could it be "we, the Christian"? How about "we, the heteros"? Did they mean "we, the males"? Or was it "we, the white"? As each day goes by, I see peers wearing American flag-themed socks and shirts. And ever since November 8th of 2016, the sight of my own country's flag terrifies me.
Wow, that was really incredible. Thank you.
It sure was. You know, Brina, that was so beautiful. We were thinking you would be a great candidate for Secretary of Education.
Yeah.
That's what we were saying in the green room.
Take it.
That was just so beautiful. And Mark, I know, I think you got 60 seconds on commentary on what we just heard.
Sure. And that was really awesome. Thank you. I think it's awesome that so many young people and students are getting involved in political ongoings and events. It makes me hope for the future that people actually care about these things now. They're paying attention, but maybe that's because it's only gotten about as bad as it can be. But, you know, maybe that's what it takes. I mean, and I for one, what was that website? It was change.org?
Yes.
Well, I'll be checking that out myself. And I on the other subject, I think it was about I was just going to talk about mental health, and I've had some experiences with my family, certain people in my family being misunderstood because of maybe their brain chemistry not exactly fitting the mold of what other people want them to be, and being ostracized because of that, and dealing with the kind of anxiety and fear that comes with not being accepted for who you are and having not living up to certain people's expectations. Is my minute up?
that was beautiful. So any closing comments, Alex? And then we're going to jump into this Beck carries of the new story.
I think both of you touch on how important even in family, in we can have these differences and the need for reaching out and trying to understand and trying to make the world better and more accepting. And yeah, I'm hopeful. I see it in my students. I see it on campus that there is a newfound motivation and a newfound enthusiasm for being engaged. And I'm hoping that this lasts. I'm really hoping that, this is an endurance run, guys, not a sprint. We got a lot to do.
Boom, this is like an unbelievably perfect segue to what we're going to be coming up with next for the leadership program that Beck is going to be talking about here on People Power Radio. I'm here with Kevin Killian, who's going to tell us a little bit about Kevin Killian and his connection with Carriers of the New Story, a program of Butte Environmental Council. Welcome to KZFR, Kevin Killian.
Woohoo! Thank you so much for having me. I really love this. I'm really passionate about this because what we're doing is we're identifying young leaders in our community, finding people that have a drive and passion and want to get involved, and we're pulling them in. We're creating these cohorts of folks working together, talking, and planning for how we can work together to create a better community. But we're looking for what we're loosely defining as youth. So we've had folks as young as 17 to one member who was a student that was 60 years old. But we're looking for college age and right after college. So 17 to 25. So there's a bit of an age range. We've got people that are really fresh to this, but we're also bringing back some folks who've been through the program once or are doing it again to help steward the new folks through this.
Anything else you'd like to add before we say until the next time we talk with Kevin Killian on a Guillermo Mash sponsored, Guillermo Mash produced show?
Yeah, thanks. I'll be back soon. Hi, Natalie. thanks, KZFR. Y'all rock.
All right, man. Through the power of pre-record and live, we have Kevin Killian, Natalie Carter, and Nikki Dow is going to tell us all about this program.
Thanks for having us.
Glad to have you guys here. Biggest thing is dates, man. I know we got to get some submittals in and stuff. Maybe you can continue that conversation, Kev, with some dates around.
Yeah, thank you. We're accepting applications for Carriers of the New Story until February 8th. Applications are online right now. You can find it through Butte Environmental Council, or you can email me at greenchico91@gmail.com. Again, greenchico91@gmail.com.
And me is Kevin Killian.
Yeah, hey.
Yeah, there he is. Hi. Natalie, what do we got? What do we got, Natalie Carter?
Man. I'm just excited to be here to talk about Carriers. This is going to be the third round of the Carriers program that they're going into, and it's been something that Beck has been really excited to support as it's been sort of coming into its infancy. And, this next round, what we're finding as we've been talking with the Carriers as they go out of the program is that they're getting all these amazing connections and tools to take out into the community, but they are missing that action step, that getting to use those tools and go out and be leaders. And so what we're plotting to do over there at with Beck and with some of our other partners in the community is to give Carriers another phase of that program and to take that opportunity to say, okay, well, now that you have all these tools, we're going to give you a program here at Beck that you can take on and you can lead and have experience, not just volunteering to make change in your community and being part of something that someone else has planned, but actually crafting the project and how it's going to go and leading it through all those steps. And so that we're going to, hopefully what that's going to do is put us in a position where we can put out 150 new environmental leaders in our community in the next 4 years.
That's a wonderful goal.
Wow. It's a goal.
Turn it over to Nikki Dow, who I affectionately call my most excellent human being. Nikki Dow, what do we got? You've been involved with Carriers. Give us a little insight.
Hi. So I've done Carriers twice. And when I first started, I was just a little baby environmental activist, Chico local, and hadn't really met too many other folk in Chico who were active in the community. And throughout the program, I met lots of members in Chico that were involved in Beck and in with KZFR and other activist groups, and I just became comfortable talking with them and was able to start to spread my wings and go out into the community and do things. And now I'm involved in a lot of things, and I'm excited for the second phase of Carriers to see what we can do, how I can help lead some of those.
Man, I'm excited. I feel 10 years younger just listening to this. What about you, Alex?
Man, I'm can I sign up?
Sure.
You could.
I'm so mesmerized by all of this. This sounds really fantastic.
It's really fun, innovative, and a powerful program through Butte Environmental Council. I'm so grateful to be working with Beck on this. So if you're digging this, please support us and donate to Butte Environmental Council, because this organization is doing incredible stuff right now to really reach out and identify our leaders and empower them and tool them for making change in our community.
Give us one more time, Kip Killen, how to get a hold of you to sign up for this.
All right. You can reach me at greenchico91@gmail.com or write to us at Butte Environmental Council, and we'll get back to you and send you an application.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming in. And it's my real distinct pleasure. We're going to transition to Sienna Kelly. Like Mark, she was a physical intern at the Peace and Justice Center when we did Youth for Justice over there, a program at the Peace and Justice Center for a couple of years. But she's got some songs for us, man. And anyway, maybe you want to talk about how excited you are to be going to the capital of jazz for a month. Lean into the mic there.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. My name's Sienna. And what Bill wants me to talk about, apparently, is the fact that I am going to visit New Orleans for Mardi Gras this year.
Sweet.
And I'm going to have a real blast of a time being in the center of jazz. And I've never been there before, and I'm really stoked to see how it all works out.
All right. We're stoked. I think we have enough time for two songs. So you just get started, and I'm going to work the mics. So this is Sienna Kelly here on People Power Radio.
As a little girl, I once was told, you'll never own the world, so please don't sell your soul. But that is from their eyes. Never truly know what I hold inside, how I was meant to glow. I'll make it there someday if I just stay strong, and this feeling has stayed since the birth of dawn, and you're just in my way. If you're not beside me, I won't run away. I will keep on climbing. No matter what they say, I'll make it there someday. I'll keep rising up until I reach the top.
no matter what they do, I will make it through, through this crazy world, to build this crazy girl. I'll make it there someday, if I just stay strong, and this feeling has stayed since the birth of dawn. And you're just in my way, if you're not beside me, I won't run away, I will keep on climbing. Can guess that I'll never see fame. Sorry for the distress, but you won't have a say. How when I'm on the radio, they'll never guess what I've been told, what you would say. She'll never make it there, she will not stay strong, and this feeling won't stay, she has got it wrong. Well, you're just in my way, if you're not beside me, I won't run away, I will keep on climbing. I will keep on climbing.
Mm. All right, give it up. If you clap loud enough, we could hear it in the studio. All right, Beatle Nation's in the house, so you're going to lead us right into Beatle Nation. Sienna, what do we got next?
Okay, sure.
This is Sienna
song
Kelly.
Is called, what is it called? I don't know, I'll tell you at the end.
Sienna Kelly, S-I-E-N-A-K-E-L-L-Y, correct? And that's on Facebook.
I'm doing fine now, out on my own. I'm feeling stronger, more than I've ever known. I'm getting wiser now that I'm alone. I'm feeling fine now, just because I let you go. It's time to realize the words shared were never true. So glad I opened my eyes and I saw the monster lurking with you. Now that I'm looking back, I see the pain you put me through. Now I wish I never surmised forever was to be spent with you. You're getting weaker, just wait and see. I guess that's karma, sign sincerely from me. You know I warn you, this is never fun. You never listen, and that's the reason that we're done. It's time to realize the words shared were never true. So glad I opened my eyes and I saw the monster lurking with you. Now that I'm looking back, I see the pain you put me through. And now I wish I never surmised forever was to be spent with you. I thought that we were meant to last. So glad that I picked a different path. And though our stars have burnt out, we've tried our best. But it's time to realize the words shared were never true. So glad I opened my eyes and I saw the monster lurking with you. Now that I'm looking back, I see the pain you put me through. And now I wish I never surmised forever was to be spent with you.
All right, that was beautiful. That's just a wonderful way to take us into Beatle Nation. Those are Beatle claps here in the background here on People Power Radio.